Please join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Speak to us, O Lord our God, and let the fire of your Spirit burn brightly in our hearts. Open our minds to receive the wisdom of the law, the hope of the prophets, and the life of the gospel, Jesus Christ, your loving Word. Amen. The reading of God's Word today is from Mark chapter 9. Verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Word of God for the people of God.
I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted, and I promised him that I would do this on Valentine's Day weekend. Thank you, sweetheart. Now that was nice. That just made my day. Thank you. Now, you can go ahead and say that. You have complete permission for the rest of the day. If you need to say thank you, sweetheart, to anybody, okay, that you see, you can go ahead and do that. Let's join in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you are at work. Thank you for how you speak. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for how you initiate that grace in our lives every moment. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. I don't know that I've ever begun a sermon before talking about what's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But I'm going to do that. It is the Sports Illustrated that features the winning quarterback for the most recent Super Bowl. Now, don't boo or hiss. That's not the point of why I'm bringing it up. The title says, "On to Immortality." On to Immortality. That's the title. There you go. And it struck me and it grabbed me because it reminded me of the fixation that we have with celebrity in this country. We have dozens of publications, magazines, specifically devoted to showing pictures of celebrity coming out of the supermarket. I kid you not. At the checkout line, what do they have right there in front of you? Well, I want to find out what fill in the blank is doing. Pick up the magazine. It will mark their every step. Exciting things that they're doing, like getting out of a car. And celebrities come up with all sorts of interesting ways to try to shield themselves then. Some of them even are so creative as to wear a bag over their head, a paper bag. I saw that. I looked online in preparation for this message today just to see some of the things that celebrities do to try to avoid that attention. And yet, we want more. And let's face it, they want more. There was one interesting approach that I really, really liked. And there was this big kind of cards about that size, okay? And the celebrities, there were a couple, were holding them up, And one card said, if you really want to know what deserves your attention, it was addressed to the paparazzi, look into these following charities. They need your attention. They need advertisement. And I thought that was kind of cool, wasn't it? So they took the pictures of these cards with, on the other card, websites for particular charities. Celebrity. And how we lift individuals up. And how we can sometimes worship individuals. You know, in this country, there are monuments as well all over the country to various individuals. President's Day is tomorrow, and I'm thinking about some of the most famous monuments in Washington, D.C. The Washington Monument, anybody been there? Anybody walk up to the top? Yeah, okay. The Lincoln Memorial, that's actually one of my favorites. Something very reverent and holy about that place. I don't mind saying that. For me, personally, I love it. But there's all sorts of monuments, and what's interesting is that many of these individuals that had these monuments built to them would probably be embarrassed to see them right now. They would have never expected these monuments to be built. Never expected people to come, and certainly never expected people to worship them. What is worthy of our worship? Who do we worship? God, and God alone. There are reminders that bring us back to that. There are reminders in our lives that bring us back to who is the source of true immortality. There are reminders that take place in our life journey that speak of who is the actual source of unending grace and love. Excuse me, rented lips this morning. And that is God, and God alone. The scripture passage today is at once a challenging one. Some would say, and some have even described it as a little bit out of place even for the rest of Mark's gospel. But nonetheless, it's the one that stands out, if you will, on Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration is all about transformation. And God transforming something into something else. Transfiguration Sunday, the scripture that was offered, was about Jesus going up a mountain, being transfigured, glowing, brighter than any bleach could have done. In fact, in the scripture, it even says that. And we can imagine that the author was trying to communicate the fact that this is not a trick that Jesus was playing. This is not something that a human being could create. This was something that God was bringing about. And so Jesus is glowing, shining bright. And by the way, if that's God, go ahead and pick it up. I want to hear what he has to say. Jesus glowing, shining bright, brighter than anything. And the disciples that are with him are speechless, except for Peter. I was going to go, Peter. What does Peter do? He gets it wrong, which is okay. Okay? That's okay. In the grander scheme of things, it's okay. Peter starts talking about, well, let's go ahead and set up tents and especially whenever they see Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. It says that in Scripture, Moses and Elijah confirming. Well, let's go ahead and set up tents and just kind of hang out here for a little bit. This is pretty cool. But they were also terrified. So they really didn't think it was that cool. They were just frightened, and it was more of a knee-jerk response to what was happening in front of them. We've talked about this in worship as well, that fear is the opposite of faith. And yet one of the most honest prayers that we can lift up is the following prayer. Lord, I'm afraid. Help me. That's an honest prayer. And it's okay to say to God, I'm afraid. God's not going to get disgusted with us for being afraid, for bringing that as an offering to Him. But we need to bring it to God. That's key. We can't hold on to that fear. We can't let it grow inside of us, eat us alive, if you will. We have to bring that to God, and God's going to receive it. Peter, on the other hand, acted out of fear, said, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and be here for a while. And yet that wasn't the purpose of this transfiguration at all. It wasn't the purpose that Peter and the other two disciples that were there at that point would be the closest ones to this glory, would be the in crowd. You see what I'm saying? Would be the favored ones. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it was for God to confirm that this is my Son. This is the one. This is the Savior that was promised, the Messiah that is delivered, and this is the one that you should follow to truly be my people. Glowing, shining, brighter than the sun. And yet what does Jesus say to them as they're coming back down the hill? Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what you saw. Have you ever been really excited about something and you wanted to tell someone? Sometimes in our preschool, whenever I see the kids, they're literally doing that. You know, they're like this spring about ready to just burst whenever they have to tell you something. And whatever it is that they have to tell you is usually momentous, like, I got a new pair of tennis shoes, and they light up. So there is this journey back down the mountain, back to everyday living. And yet this momentous mountaintop experience, and there's been a confirmation that Jesus is truly the Son of God, who He says He is. What does that mean for us today? Well, it means for us that when we put our trust in God through Jesus, that is the right place to put our trust. When we worship God, God is not going to turn His back on us. And even when we have been turning our back on God, when we've been waiting for those mountaintop experiences, Lord, I could really use something big right now, something dramatic to show Your grace and love. Come on. Even when we do that and we turn our back on God because we think God's not around anymore, God still is at work and loves us. Before this mountaintop experience and after this mountaintop experience, in the mundane ministry and following Jesus around in the dusty, hot, dry region of the world, God was still powerfully evident and at work in His followers. They just didn't always realize it or pay attention to it. There's another truth here as well. Jesus, in this event, and God through Jesus, is pointing towards resurrection. Jesus glorified. Jesus is pointing towards the truth and the reality of resurrection. That resurrection is not just pie in the sky kind of thinking. It's real. It's actually what defines us as followers. What goes hand in hand with resurrection for Jesus? Crucifixion. So that points to this reality, that in the challenging times of life, in the humbling times of life, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death times of life, God continues to be with us. And that's not the end of the story. God doesn't turn his back on us. And God is always speaking into and through our lives. The truth of resurrection reminds us of that. The truth of the resurrection also was probably the greater scandal and challenge that was brought up by Jesus' message. People hearing this thought, what in the world could he be talking about? Is this possible? Well, yes, it is. This revelation of God, of who Jesus is, also reminds us that it is God who reveals Jesus to us. It is God's action here. And so while we can seek and search out God's presence in our lives and to be able to see Jesus in our journey, God is already revealing that to us. Does it happen in overwhelming and powerful ways like this all the time? No. But does it happen every day? Yes. In some way. In some way, certainly. How is God speaking into your life? How is God reminding you that Jesus' name is the name that you are called to claim as well? Christian. How is God's grace touching you? Not just in the mountaintop experiences, but also off the mountaintop. It's not about us being in control. And I think that's probably the greatest challenge, isn't it? It's about God being in control all the time. We might not understand how God is in control. But we understand that that's the great reality of our lives as those who claim the name of the one who was transformed and the one whose love is transforming us today. A pastor, Phil Wilson, had this one statement that I have in bold and underline right now. And I love it. Whenever we think about crucifixion, resurrection, and how God is transforming us, this is the statement that I want us to hold on to. Faith or control. You can't have both, so choose one. God who loves you. God, who knows your name. God, who is bringing transformation into your life, whether you're aware of it or not, or whether you like it or not, through Jesus, is speaking today as he speaks every moment into our journey. That's what transfiguration is really all about. Not celebrity, not saying, I know Jesus more than you do. It's about God's love changing the world. There's a brother and sister in Christ, George and Fran Whiteman, that I asked to come forward at this time. They have answered that question and said they want to have faith. They know they're not in control. God is in control in their lives. And as they're stepping forward today to be able to join this fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, it is a celebration to see God shining in both of you. Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing to have you folks be willing to right now answer this question. Do you hand over control to God? Do you open your lives to that love of God from Jesus? And do you open yourself also to being part of this faith community in whatever way God guides you? If so, please respond with amen.
Amen.
Yes. That's the kind of response I like to hear. Not me saying, is anybody there? Thank you for that witness, Fran and George. We love you, and we celebrate the fact that you folks are members of this congregation. Let's welcome. You didn't hear this, but you know what's even better? Fran looked me right in the eyes, and she said, thank you, sweetheart. That was wonderful. That's the first time somebody's joined here and said that, so I thank you so much. Folks, our song of mission is number 2173. You don't really need to look it up because the words are printed in our bulletin. Please join me in singing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let's stand.